So as I was coming over, I didn't have this on. This has nothing to do with what I was going to teach on tonight or what I was going to talk about. But as me and Susan was driving, and a lot of you in here had already heard me mention this. The Holy Spirit just revealed this to me the other day through some teaching, and it's pretty awesome. So I'm going to share it, and I think you'll love it. It just puts Jesus bumps all over you. So could you put Isaiah 1:18? Israel is not doing very good at this time. They're doing terrible. They're not following the Lord. They're not obeying his commands. They're living life like they want to live it, and nothing is going well. And the Lord, through Isaiah, spoke. And this is what he says later on. He says, come now, let us reason together. That's awesome to me. I don't know if it is to y'all. It's awesome to me. Come now. The Lord, the creator of the universe, tells me, come, let us reason. He don't have to reason with me. He is reason. But he's that good. He's that good. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson. Keep in mind that word crimson. In the Greek, that word is tola. I think it's spelled T-O-L-A-H. I think. Don't matter. But it's tola. And it is the word that means worm. I'm going to tell you a story after this, because you have to remember, but when I'm telling you this, that when God speaks to people, he speaks to them where they can understand. We're from the Western world. We don't quite get this. It would be so awesome if we could speak Greek fluently or Hebrew fluently. I think the Bible would be so much deeper if we just really knew exactly what these words that we use that's translated really means. And so it's really cool just to study into that. So this word tola means worm. Actually, it means maggot, but it means worm. It's interesting because in Psalms 22, Jesus describes himself as a worm. So if you will, put Psalms 22, I think 6. Yep. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. This word worm is the same word. It's the word tola as the word crimson is, or the same exact Hebrew word. The exact word, tola. Well, it's interesting because when he's speaking to the nation of Israel, they know exactly what he's talking about. And I'm going to give you the story. There's a worm over there. The male worm, I'm about to go dry. The male worm will climb a tree and suck the sap out of that tree. And the sap in that tree will cause that worm to turn red, blood red, scarlet, crimson. And it'll form a waxy shell over it and die. And it hangs on the side of that tree. No bird, nothing will bother that worm because of that waxy shell around it. Keep remembering these Israelites that he's talking to. They know this. They know what a tola is. So later, the female worm will go up the tree and lay eggs. And those eggs will hatch into little baby worms. And they will feed off of that tola. They will feed off of that male worm. That red, blood red worm. So actually what has happened, he has sacrificed his life for them. That's cool in itself, but the real cool part is when they're through, there's a red dot about the size of a nickel, from what I understand, left on that tree, blood red. And in 3 days, that blood red spot turns snow white. That's cool. That is cool. If you understand what Isaiah is telling those people, they understand that. We don't get it, but he's telling them a story that they can understand. He's using language they can understand. And it's really cool. That's a side note. Now we're going to get on what we're here for. That was free, but that's some good, that's cool stuff. That is cool. So here I am again. We need a fresh anointing. Here I am again going to talk about the Holy Ghost. That's just what God has called me to do. I don't apologize because that's what my calling is. That's what I'm called to do. I went so many years not knowing who the Holy Spirit was that when I did find out, you can't shut me up. There's some big old boys in here, but y'all ain't big enough to shut me up. No. So why is that me? Because I don't think that the church, that the believers really understand how critical it is to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. I really don't believe that. I know that from where I come from, I know that the people I see, the people I know, they just don't know. It's amazing. I teach a Sunday school class, and over the years, there's been people come in and just amazed at the teachings and what you know about the Holy Spirit. They just don't know. They've never been taught. And I always kind of jokingly laugh when I was saved and they baptized. Actually, I wasn't. I was already saved. But I joined another church and I had to be baptized in that church to join it. So I always kind of laugh and say, I never heard nothing about the Holy Spirit. The only thing I ever remember is when they baptized me, they said they baptized me in the name of the Father and the Son. I heard that, then they dumped me underwater and said Holy Spirit, and I don't even remember hearing that. So I never remembered anything about it. But that I do have this yearning, this desire to about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is who is in us, and he is who sanctifies us. He's who guides us and teaches us. We need him in our lives. Amen. Critically. This ain't an option. Well, I got all God I want. I don't need the Holy Spirit. You better get the Holy Spirit. You better get saved. So, what my next question that I had was, where has the power gone? So I know David was just talking about people, the church, the kids going to church, but I did a little study, and the best that I can tell by the Pew, is that 1 in 10 people are walking away from the faith. 1 in 10. I don't know whether that's correct. I don't know whether it's a couple more. I don't know whether it's too many, but even one walking away from the faith is too many. So I asked myself the question. I said, why? Why are these people walking away from the faith? Now, I want to explain something. These aren't believers walking away from the faith. These are people walking away from the faith that are sitting in this church, some right now, that don't know the Lord. But this is a good place to get to know him. I've been in a lot of other places that wasn't very, that was really going to be hard, tough to find the Lord in there. But this is a good place. They're walking away. So why? Why are they walking? And I want this teaching and I want this lesson to be more like I always say, like a Sunday school. So if somebody has a question or something, just throw your hand up and they'll bring you a mic. You got to have a microphone. So if that scares you, just turn that little switch off on the side when you start talking on it. So I want to read Exodus 30, and I'm going to read Exodus 30, 22 through 33. So this is where they're fixing to anoint the temple and everything. So it says in verse 22, moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. And you shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. Just hang on to that for just a minute. Number one, there's very specific details on how to make this anointing oil. It's not just a flippantly, is that how you say that? Flippantly thing. This is very detailed. And just remember these things. Remember that. Remember that the priests were anointed. In the Bible, there are types and antitypes. There are pictures or there are shadows in the Old Testament that the reality is in the New Testament. We can interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament, vice versa. So when we look at the anointing oil, I always think of the Holy Spirit. That's what is represented by oil throughout the Bible. The Holy Spirit, when you read oil, most of the time, nearly every time, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So keep it in mind, try to keep this in your mind, that the anointing oil that Jesus is, that the Lord's talking about here to Moses, is a type of the real thing of the Holy Spirit that we see so broadly in the New Testament, the anointing. And so, and again, if anybody has any questions, just holler loud. So there's very specific instructions on how to make this oil. And I just want to say this when we're going. The oil has no power. Don't have any power today. Don't get to worship in the oil, the holy oil. It has no power. Well, why do they do it? There's something called faith. They made it. Had they have not made it exactly like the Lord told them to make it, there was no faith in it. They had to make it and do exactly what he said. The power is in the faith in that by doing it. Today it's the same thing. Well, can you lay hands on people and pray for them without anointing them with oil and they be healed? Absolutely. Absolutely. My suggestion in all this, and this is not where we're going in the lesson, is to do just exactly what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. If he says, rub them with green beans, get you some green beans and rub them with it. But so we just need to understand that the power isn't in the oil. So it's absolutely critical in the Old Testament that the priest be anointed. Everybody agree with that? Absolutely. We just read it. I'll read it again. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them to me. Jesus is our high priest. He is our high priest. And so in Hebrews 4:14, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. No doubt, Jesus is our high priest. And this 1 Peter 2:9, in 1 Peter 2:9, we born again believers are, according to 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. If you're born again, born by the Spirit of God, you're a priest. You're a priest. There's other scriptures. Revelation 1:5-6 says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests. So, looking at this type, the shadow in the Old Testament, they had to be anointing oil. Doesn't it make sense that a priest today needs to be anointed? I mean, it's pretty simple, I think. So if Jesus washed us from our sins and he's made us kings and priests, and the picture in the Old Testament is the type, is that they had to be anointed with oil, a type of the Holy Spirit, then Jesus comes along with the new covenant. He's our high priest, and he's anointed with the Holy Spirit. How do I know that he's anointed with the Spirit? Because in Luke 4:18 and 19, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And so our high priest, the high priest, had to be anointed. Jesus had to be anointed. And again, I'm going to tell you that if you are to minister to the Lord, you need to be anointed. You have to be anointed. I'm not going to say you need to be. You have to be anointed. By the way, back in the Exodus 30, if this anointing oil was placed on, it couldn't be placed on anybody. If it was placed on a foreigner or an outsider, someone who wasn't a priest, whoever applied it would be cast out. Meaning that this stuff is not, you can't put it on anybody. There's no different today. This anointing oil that I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit, can't be given to anybody. You have to be saved. It's for a special people. And if you're born again in this room, you're that person. No special requirements other than just be born again. Be born of the Spirit of God. That's what's required. And so, we may run out of time. No, we're not going to run out of time. Okay. So, again, keep this in mind. Where has the power gone? If Jesus, our high priest, needed the anointing, we need the anointing. Anyone in this room that don't believe that, believe that you can follow the Lord. This happened to me several years ago, that if you can follow your Lord in your own strength, I would be more than sure that you're not following the assignment that the Lord has put on your life, because you can't do it. It's impossible. Impossible. So, what is the ministry? Brother Eric goes over this every two or three weeks with us, because this is where the Lord had led him. What is the ministry? The ministry is to preach, back in Luke 4:18, the ministry is to preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, to set free those who are in bondage, to heal the sick, and to proclaim total restoration. That's the acceptable year of the Lord. Total restoration. That's what God wants to do for us. Where's the power gone? The best research, again, that I've come up with is that 1 out of 10 people are walking away from the faith. Why are they walking away from the faith? Because they don't see the power of the gospel. They're going to church, and they're seeing the same thing in the church that's in the world. No difference. It has to be that. I mean, there's no difference. There's too much scripture talks about it. So I want to read something that Troy laid on my heart yesterday, this morning. I don't remember when. But anyway, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. That is the day. That's today. I hate that just happened to my notes. We may just have to wing it. We can do it. We can wing it if we need to.
I have
a question.
Okay. Power.
It's basically self-interpreted. It's the power is the Holy Spirit. It's denying the Holy Spirit.
The power of Jesus changed the Holy Spirit.
Yes, because we know that in Acts 1:8, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'm going to suggest to you that these are saved people he's talking to. These aren't lost. These people were saved back in John 20. Somebody may have help, be able to help. But John 20, when it says Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, that was their salvation. That's when they got saved. But in Acts 8, they don't need to be saved again. They're receiving the power. They're receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the ministry. And so,
some people deny the power for it to be saved.
For to be saved. Yes. Yes, and that it's cool, and we may not, this is good, I like this. So it's really cool because what happens throughout the Bible is we see that Jesus doing miracle signs and wonders, and what happens when people see it? They get saved. So they're denying the power in more lots of ways. There's lots of ways you can deny the power of God. It's but again, you know, they would see the miracles, they would see the signs and the wonders. And I like to say this, and this I don't want to mess somebody up. But Jesus really ain't healing us for our warm and fuzzy feelings. He does. He cares about us. The things that concern us concern him. But there's a bigger testimony than that. It's much bigger than that. It's much bigger than just for our warm, fuzzy feelings because of my leg don't hurt no more, my back don't. That's awesome. He loves us that much to do that. But it's much deeper than that. There's a testimony behind it. And That's what he's after, that testimony. He bears witness to his word. If Jesus says he will set you free, he'll deliver you, he'll heal you, he'll save you, then he don't only say that and walk off. He bears witness to it. He does it. That's why we can trust him. Everything he says, he does. He does it. So anybody else have anything? Was it? Are you?
Yeah. That's what I thought. I was going to make sure.
So we need the anointing. And I keep saying this, where has the power gone? The power of the anointing is. So I was going, you know, interesting that the Gideons are here talking about the Bible, because I had a few things in here and I wanted to bring these up. So as we read the Bible, I want you to understand something about it. I'm going to try to, this is really, really touchy. But I think we need to know this. Some need to know this. Do not worship this. People worship this. Do not worship this. There's one of these buried right underneath here in the concrete. Pretty cool. Brother Eric wanted to be standing on the word when he preached. And I'm going to tell you, there's probably people that they're really thrown off by that, because they put a Bible in the concrete. It's probably in a box. I don't know how they did it, but regardless, don't worship the Bible. And we're going to get into that. Jesus had some things to say about that. But this word is the inspired word of God. God spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke to somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 men. And he told them exactly what to speak and what to write. And they wrote it. And 66 books over a period, I think somebody made 1,500 years. That pretty close. That's what he did. Who was inspired? The people that wrote it. They wrote it. They were inspired. That does not alone make this the living word. Don't stone me. That alone does not make this the living word. What makes this the living word? The Holy Spirit. If you're reading this word without the Holy Spirit guiding you, without the Holy Spirit bringing this to life, it really, I'm not going to say you won't get nothing out of it. That would be blasphemy probably. But you're not going to get out of it what the Lord can really put into you. So, too many people, again, this where has the power gone? Too many preachers in pulpits, too many teachers in Sunday school, too many born-again Christians out attempting to do the ministry without the anointing are teaching. There's no power in it. There's none. It's just, I've said this before, if you hear somebody up here preaching or in any pulpit and you're out there, that ain't the Holy Ghost, because you can't go to sleep when he's talking. So I better not see nobody have their head down and to keep awake. So we need this anointing. We need a fresh anointing. This anointing doesn't last forever. God has an anointing for us for every specific thing that we do. If we're ministering to Joe, he has an anointing for us for Joe. That anointing for Joe don't work on Troy. It's for Joe. We need, every time we pray for someone, every time we minister to someone, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, anoint us for this. You don't have to say, you don't have to go into a loud prayer. You can say it quietly. Holy Spirit, I need an anointing for this. I don't have any idea what this person's going through. I don't know what's on the, but I need you, I need that anointing. In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about 9 spiritual gifts. That is part of the anointing. He will give them to you as you need them for that. So we need to keep that in mind. Right. Yeah.
Because the people that were around them thought they were drunk because they couldn't understand a word they were right. saying.
So the Holy Spirit is unity.
Right.
And he brings that. We cannot accomplish what God has sent us to accomplish without that anointing. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6 says this, and we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. How does he do that? Through the anointing. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I heard a preacher one time say, the sword, the word, the sword, cuts going in and heals coming out. That just always stuck with me. If you're reading the word without the Spirit, all you're doing is killing and bringing condemnation on people. Without the Spirit is what brings life. So there, that happens. And so why are, again, keeping in mind, why are people walking away from the faith? Condemnation. They're being condemned in churches. They're being condemned by teachers, by people, by born-again believers that don't have the anointing and don't understand that they need the Spirit behind them and in them, working through them. And so here, something just, so what is it when we hear the Holy Spirit in us? The Holy Spirit in us. Everybody in here knows what, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in you. But what is it when the Holy Spirit is upon a person? Is it the same thing? Is it word semantics? Right.
You're stuck in your head. Mm. And I think a lot of us learn that method, will not learn to let go and receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes, there's the Holy Spirit has multiple ministries. One of those ministries is the sanctifying spirit. He moves into us when you get saved. He is the one in you that makes you over time more and more like Jesus. That's the sanctifying spirit of God. Charlie preached on that one time up here, so awesome. Charlie Fortenberry was so good. He's the one that when you're driving down the road, you throw a piece of paper out the window that says, go back and get it. And you know, you got to go back and get it. He's the one when you walk into the grocery store and you pay your bill and they shorted themselves $4. You get out to your car and he says, you just stole $4. Go back and pay them. That's the sanctifying spirit of God. That ain't your goodness doing that. That's the goodness in you doing that. That's the Holy Spirit. And so that it, every born-again believer has the sanctifying spirit in them. But not every... I'm getting in some really dangerous ground because I'm not going to have time to explain. But not every born-again believer has the ministering spirit upon them. If you remember in the scripture, it says this a lot, that the Spirit of God come upon them and they did something. The Spirit of God come upon them and they did. The Spirit of God was upon them and they always do something. What's the difference in the Spirit in you? That's the sanctifying Spirit. What's the difference in the Spirit on you? You got to do something. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit to minister. And if you're going to be a minister, I used to say an efficient minister, an effective, which is true. I would say now after studying the scripture, you have to have the Holy Spirit on you to minister. Why are people walking away from the faith? Because they don't see the power. The power is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. People are not receiving the power. They're saved and they're confused because so many churches teach that when you get saved, you receive every bit of this all at one shot. It's not true. That's to the devil's advantage.
Yes. So I've learned through the Holy Spirit, through the deal we went through, was you got to realize that when Jesus had the Holy Spirit come upon him and when he started healing and everything,
yes,
started happening, the same Holy Spirit that went into him came mm-hmm. to us, which gives us the same exact power that he has. We have the same ability as he has. Yes.
He gave us that authority. And he give us that authority because he said, the things that I do, you'll do also, and greater things than these will you do. And also he give us the authority and the power. I mean, that's a given. Yeah. It's a given. Here's the key. What has happened over the years is people have abused it. And there is a counterfeit for everything. The devil has a counterfeit for everything Jesus done. Everything. And so people come out acting in the gifts of the Spirit. It isn't the gifts of the Spirit at all. It's counterfeit. It's demonic. And the people that are coming, that are walking away from the faith, are seeing that. And that would make you want to walk away from the faith. But the reality is we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say because there's one counterfeit, we don't need to believe any of it. It's caused some churches and some denominations to completely deny the power, to say that there's no more gifts of the Spirit. Those have ceased. Cessationalist. And that's to the devil's advantage. I mean, that was his goal. That's what his plan was. And so we definitely, definitely need this anointing. Every time I pray for someone or minister to someone, I quietly, sometimes I say it loudly, but usually I'll say it quietly and ask the Lord for that anointing. If they need healing, I need the gift of healing. If they need a miracle, I need the gifts. I need that. I need the gift of miracles. Whatever they need, I feel. Now, the Lord knows whether I need that or not. I will ask for it thinking I need it, but he truly knows whether I need it. That's the determining factor whether I get it or not. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah. You mind?
You know, go right.
You know, I got something clarified tonight as you shared that you need the anointing in every specific case. Because there's a verse that always bugs me where John in his first letter says, you have no need that anyone teach you.
Yes. Yes. That's absolutely awesome. I got a little story about that. There was a guy in like a hospital waiting room where they got these candy machines and machines. Supposedly this is a true story. I don't know the guy, but I read about it years ago. And he was in there and he said he heard the Holy Spirit say, stand on your head, get up against that machine and stand on your head. I always think about Robert Horton and Brother Eric. Brother Eric said, if the Holy Ghost told Robert to run into that wall with his head, somebody better get him a helmet. Because he's fixing to hit it. Well, this man said somebody told him to stand on his head in this little lobby. And he's in the hot, like a hospital, I think. And he said, I don't think I want to stand on my head. So finally, the Holy Spirit just kept on and kept on. He said, so I went over there, and I'm not going to do it. But he just flipped up on his head. In a few minutes, a man came in there and just started bawling and crying and just broke. And he said, what's going on? And that man said, I was fixing to commit suicide, and I told the Lord, the only way I won't do it is if I see somebody standing on their head. Banana. Hey, God's good. He knows a lot more than we do. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but he does. So, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes. It was just him and the Holy Ghost. He didn't go to seminary. Well, he did, but the Lord was the instructor. Absolutely. That's the way it was. So I want to read this real quick. In John 14, 15 through 18. This anointing oil wasn't on, you couldn't put it on, in the Old Testament, you couldn't put it on anybody. It was just for the priest. If you're born again, you're just the priest. You're one of them, us. You're a priest. If you're not, you need to become one. So here's what he says. Here's what Jesus says in John 14. Jesus himself says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will. He's talking, I believe, to born-again believers at this time. He's talking to some people who are saved people, if you will. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Remember in Exodus 30, don't put this all on a foreigner, or you'll be cast out. Another reason I believe we're attempting to anoint people with the Holy Spirit today who aren't even saved. It's a mess because we're We're blowing the gifts. We're putting the gifts of the Spirit before the giver. We're more interested in the gifts than we are the giver. And how do you know if they're saved? Because there, I guarantee you, if you need that discernment in order to ask someone, James knows this well, before you would never ask someone to receive the anointing if you're walking in the Spirit who wasn't saved. The Lord wouldn't let that happen. But sometimes we can get in the flesh. Say this, I'm going to be done. It's 7:01. I don't want this to sound like a pride thing. I just want to tell y'all something. So I was fasting, and it had been a few days since I had eaten anything, and I was hungry, and I was working in my shop. I was mounting a deer, and I got hungry in a couple of days. Normally, when you fast for a long time, you don't really get hungry or weak or sick feeling until about the fourth or fifth or sixth day. But this was 2 days, and I was sick. I mean, I was working on 2 deer. I had one. I'm a taxidermist, if y'all don't, that don't make sense. But I'm over here working on a deer, and I work on it, and run over here and work on this in a while. And I got really weak. I'm not weak now. You can tell I feel like running Merckson. So I was working, and I got sick. I mean, I was in there. I don't know if it's the right thing, but like maybe a low sugar where you get that little trembling. I got the feeling that way, and I was sitting there. I thought, I'm fixing to fall. I mean, I got to sit down. So I went out and got in the porch swing, and I started praying. I don't know if this is spiritual. I'm not saying to do this or anything. But I said, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I got a problem. I've been fasting for a couple of days, and I really feel led that you've asked me to fast, but I can't do it. I'm going to give you 20 minutes. I'm going to go in there and raid that ice box. Now, like I said, I'm not suggesting you do that, but I talk to Jesus just like I talk to y'all. He's my best friend. And I said, I can't make it. I need you. If that was Susan, I told her the same thing. I'm going to go. Jesus, I'm fixing to what Michelle used to say. Come on, Jesus. That's pretty much. Come on, Jesus, I need some help. I didn't keep it up. I looked at my phone to see what time, because I was going to give him 20 minutes. And I bet you it wasn't 5 minutes. I was perfect. But during that time, even after he took care of my hunger, he said, you have been glutton, and you can tell I'm a pretty good eater. He said, you have been glutton in the flesh, and he's not talking about eating food. He's talking about you have been feeding the flesh for so long, and your spirit has been on a fast, just like you are right now. And it feels, your spirit feels just like you do. I don't know if anybody's ever fasted. I know some have, but I don't know if everybody has. But if you haven't, I would suggest it. It's an awesome time if you want to hear God. Jesus highly recommended it. But anyway, does anybody have anybody have any questions? We got to quit. I don't want to quit, but we got to because we're going to get in trouble, right? 7:04. Anybody? Okay, I can see wheels turning. All right, we better quit. So,
I'm out here. Okay. When he tells us to be ambassadors for Christ, I was reading this today. And if you go to ambassadors, be like our ambassadors, you said them. Mm-hmm. They have all the power of our country behind them. That's what God is telling us.
That's it.
We have all this power in us. We're going to do what he tells us to do. Don't worry about how you can present it. When God tells you to speak to someone, he's going to come out of it.
You shouldn't have said that. I want to talk now, but I ain't going to. That's a whole evening. So praise the Lord. And the Gideons are out here. They're taking donations and offerings, and that's how they make it. That's what they do. So just pray. They just said they don't want you to take your tithes from Sand Springs. They want you to give from your excess. And if you can, pray, ask the Lord what you should do, and bless them. And they're going to be out in the, I think on each door, or out in the foyer there. All right, so Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now that if there's any person in this room that wants to minister to you, that wants that anointing, that hasn't received that anointing, Lord, I pray right now that they would receive that. And Lord, there's people in here, there's many people in here, Lord, that Lord, that would pray for them if that's what they want, but they can do it themselves. Lord, all you got to do, your word teaches us, all we got to do is ask Jesus for that anointing. And then in faith, we can receive it. So Father, I just pray right now that anyone out there would do that, that don't have that anointing. And more than that anointing, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone out there that don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that you would just right now pour Holy Spirit upon them, Lord, that you would just save them in the name of Jesus. And let them, give them a peace, a calmness, and an understanding that they would have no fear to walk right up here and just accept you as their Lord and Savior. Because, Lord, there may not be a tomorrow on this earth. So, Father, we do thank you. We love you and praise you. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.